Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money on your next painting project with Menards. Get a paint that combines gorgeous color and durability. Dutch Boys Platinum Plus is a paint and primer with a protective finish that guards against scuffs, spills, and stains. Get $15 off instantly on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on Dutch Boy and Purdy products. Now through March 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. The Burt Show.
Half dozen of you guys just didn't get it. No, I wasn't mad. I got these DMs over the weekend from people that said they were mad that you pranked me on this Post Malone thing.
Oh, there's somebody that commented on the video, and she's upset too because she doesn't think pranks are funny.
Oh my God.
I got some of these. No, I thought it was hilarious. And the fact that I was the butt of it made me, A, feel so foolish, but also I found it so funny.
Mm-hmm.
It could have turned, though. It could have turned in one way. So let me just explain if you weren't listening last week. We'll play some audio for you here. Kristen and a bunch of people at the radio station played a prank on me. People that I used to trust.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. So when they told me that Post Malone was coming in studio, I thought it was a really big deal. I mean, I had been fired up about it for 48 hours. So excited.
We were listening to Post Malone music nonstop from 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. last Thursday.
Yeah. If you didn't hear, we can't recap the whole thing for you because it took us 40 minutes to talk about it last time we were in here. But just know that at the end of this 20-minute interview...
20 minutes, y'all. 20
as
minutes.
As we're playing beer pong with fake Post Malone, I have no idea that it's a lookalike until this happens. At the very end where Kristen is getting us all together to take a picture for all the public... for Instagram and all the likes with Post Malone. Thank you, dude. Appreciate it. Post Malone.
Hey, it was awesome seeing you.
Let me get some photos. Is that okay?
You're wrong.
All right, everybody look at Post Malone and say, April Fool's!
Classic.
What's going on? Oh, come on, man. I never even saw it.
This is a virtual whisper Jimmy that looks just like Post Malone.
Shut the f*** up. All right, so there's so much to unpack, which we did a lot of this on Friday, but I'm not exactly sure how to present this with you in studio, but I thought the prank was Post Malone attaching a prosthetic to his arm to make it look like he didn't have a hand. Jimmy here doesn't have a hand. That's what I thought the prank was.
Oh, I know.
And in my mind, I am saying to myself, if we post this, he's going to get so much crap for this.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't even realize that you still weren't Post Malone at that point.
I thought you realized like at that point until she was like, this is Jimmy. And then you were like, shut the F up. And I was like, oh, he just realized. He said April Fool's to himself.
And you can see it in my face if you're watching the video, like me get confused.
Yeah, you were like, April Fool's.
Yeah, but then I go in on it and then I see your arm and I'm like, oh, this is going to be, there's a million things going through my head. And as Mo and I tried to explain on Friday, like, there's just too much of a risk for me calling out that you're not Post Malone if you are Post Malone. I mean, it would be epic failure. So while there were little red flags, I just talked myself out of it.
And this is, it's so fascinating when you look at it from like a human nature aspect. So it's so crazy what you will convince yourself of, what you will believe.
Absolutely.
Just because everybody else around you is selling it.
Truth.
And I think that is, I think that's a little life lesson that we learned along the way. I'm not going to lie though, that when you looked at me and you go, so Post isn't coming today?
So
I know, I felt bad.
I was so disappointed.
I felt a little bit bad. And then the comments on the video, y'all. Oh, there's one person that was like, bro, he looks nothing like Post Malone. Poor Bert was starstruck.
There are so many people that said that, man. So many people that said, Amanda even looked at it.
Yeah.
Cavante, who runs the board in there, he's like, I couldn't tell who that white guy was trying to be. I'm like, no, man, it's Post Malone. But our receptionist was really mad. I was walking out at like 10:15, 10:30, and she's like, well, now you know who your real friends are. And I didn't know what she was talking about either, but she saw you walk into the elevator and out, and she was still upset that nobody told her that Post Malone was in studio, and she saw him too.
They were saying that in the room over there, that the whole like sales side or everyone over there was mad. They were like, Post Malone was here and no one told them. They were mad.
Jimmy, I would love to get, like, because we've gotten Bert's side of the story, my side of the story. I would love to hear your perspective of how all this rolled out and what you were thinking when you walked into our little beer pong area, and then you're like, are they or are they not going to believe I'm actually Post Malone?
And Claudia's wife is here also, and I'm holding you accountable as well.
It was a little awkward when I walked in at first. I was like, where do I go? You know, hey guys, what's going on? But once we started playing and I started answering questions, I felt like I turned into Post Malone. For a second there, I was like, I'm Post Malone.
You were gaslighting yourself into thinking you were the person you were portraying.
Exactly.
How much research did you do? Because every question that we threw at you, which was really like just introspective questions. Abby came to the table with a couple where you're like, that's a really good, you were like loaded, ready to go.
That was a little bit of a tactic to think whenever I said, you know, that's a great question. That was to give myself a little bit of time to think.
Basically, what he's saying is my questions weren't that good. They were just really hard.
I don't know how to answer this really stupid question
she came up with.
I was joking with Abby.
They were good questions.
They were good questions.
Part of it was to think a little bit.
I was joking with Abby afterwards. Yeah. I'm like, that's how I should have fully known it was a prank, because no celebrity has ever told her twice in the same interview. That's a good question. But you did your research, man. It was very good.
Whenever like we got the email and got it set up, I honestly felt like I got hired for like a role. I was like, this is like an acting gig, you know? I'm just going to go in there, be Post Malone.
Now, when we met back in November at Georgia Safe Retirement Planners, and I said I wanted to do this, like from the moment I met you guys, because I mean, how often do you get people saying you look like Post Malone?
It happens probably like once
all
a day.
If I'm out a good bit,
people are like, kind of look like Post Malone. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys pulled that off or anything free yet? Like, yeah, it is, man. Give me that table.
That's the first time we've ever tried it.
And guess what? It worked.
Yeah, we might.
So did you think I was going to follow through and hit you guys up to actually go through with it?
She did, but I didn't. Honestly, I was like, if they do, that'll be awesome. But I mean, I don't know. You know, people say a lot of things.
Thank you. And then as soon as it was so funny because I hit him up and I was like, I was waiting on that email response. And I'm like, still, please be game. Please be game. Please be game. And then you did. And the fact that you were like, we are 100%.
I was like, I got questions. Like, how long are the interviews? Yeah. Like, are we just tricking Bert or is everybody? I was like, I need to know everything.
Uh-huh. Now, you're a little bit, you hid the arm thing so well. And again, while I'm doing the interview, I noticed that you're hiding your left arm, but I had no idea why. No idea. So you're shooting with your right, and you're holding the mic underneath like your armpit, your left armpit.
Sorry about that, by the way, for making you hold a microphone and play beer pong.
Yeah, that took me a second. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I just kind of held it right here, and it was inside my vest, so it was completely hidden. So.
And then at some point, you exposed it, and Mo saw it.
I forgot Mo was not in on the joke, so I took it out and was hiding it from you and just for, you know, was acting casual. I totally forgot Mo was not in on it.
Dude, so. His face, when he saw the nub, he was just like, what is happening right now? And then I could see it wash over him like, So we're not gonna ask Post Malone how he lost his hand.
I heard this segment. Yeah, it's like what? Wait, what? Post Malone lost his hand?
That could be career changing.
Yeah, it could be
for sure.
Which, by the way, Jimmy, do you want to give the history of how you ended up without a left hand?
Yeah, do some audience members might not know this, but you guys know what a VCR is?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Like as far as the recording device goes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
When I was a kid, like I. Pretty much, like, I thought if I put my hand in there and press play, that it would show up on the screen.
Oh, how old were you?
Like, 4.
Okay.
And it pretty much just totally jacked my hand up. Like, they had to amputate it. And, yeah, it was...
I did not know the story.
Are you guys are you guys pranking me again?
Oh, yeah, no, that's made up.
not letting that one go.
No, I was born without it. I was born without it.
Did you just prank yourself?
Yes! Because, you know, it's not a question, but I felt because of the prank, like, now would be a good time to share. And I'm like, I think he was born like that, but I'm not 100% sure. Dude!
Tommy bought it because his mouth was wide open, like, what?
That's one of my favorite stories.
It's either that or a shark attack.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a very good one.
I've made up a lot of stuff over the years.
Yeah, your new one should be you ran into Post Malone in an alley and you lost in a fight. Only one of us can be here, brother.
He was pissed about the bit.
Well, you guys did a great job, man. I don't know if I want to thank you, but thank you for your time.
Oh, it was awesome. God. Like I said, we're big fans of this show. So.
Thank you.
You know, we were like, let's just go and meet the cast if it doesn't work out. It worked out really, really good.
Be honest, man. Like when you walked in, over under, like how long did you think you were going to be able to pull this off on Bert? Like what were you giving yourself?
I was right next to him. I was like, he's going to notice like something for sure. But it went the whole 20 minutes. We could have kept talking probably for like an hour.
You're welcome, because I had to tell Tommy that I popped behind the curtain because I'm like, will you please wrap this up? We're going to be here for like another 20 minutes if you don't wrap this up.
I would have gone on and on and on. And you did a great job. All the humiliation is up online right now. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the only part that potentially I could have been angry at, and thank God it didn't happen, is I told my son 2 days before that Post Malone was going to come in, and I said, look, you're only going to have one chance of your life to meet Post Malone, so if you want to come in, I know it's during school hours, come on in. And he had forgotten about it. So when I told him this weekend that it was a prank, had he been there and I was that humiliated in front of my son, that might have been the only thing that would have angered me. Because being humiliated in front of you guys is one thing, but in front of your own kin?
Yeah.
It's the Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bert Show.
She exposed herself this weekend. She's a body positivity influencer, but she's getting a lot of backlash right now. Rebecca?
Yeah, so have you guys heard of Remy Bader?
Mm-hmm. I have not. I'm on this side of TikTok with you.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so she's a famous content creator on TikTok. Some people would call her a body positive influencer. I would more so call her sort of like a fashion influencer, or sometimes like a food talk person. So she became famous in like 2021 because she would do these realistic try on hauls where she would buy a bunch of clothes from different brands and she would put them on and show how they look on a plus size body.
Oh, I know who she is.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
And they were super funny and people thought she was like very relatable and she got a following very quickly. So
she was calling out different companies that their fits weren't for anybody but truly small women.
Sort of. It was like she would call out what different sizes in different brands look like on her personal body size and how even if it says it's a 16 or an 18, it's not going to actually look like how it looks like on the model, stuff like that.
Just so I have all the facts, was she also like, hey, look at me, I'm losing all this weight, I'm busting my butt to lose weight?
So as a cursory follower, it seemed like her weight fluctuated a lot over her time as an influencer.
So Remy Bader has been really open about how she struggled with a binge eating disorder. She has mentioned frequently that this is something that she has really, really struggled with. And where a lot of this controversy that we're about to get into is her Her pivotal change in weight happened after a controversial breakup that happened through her social media as well.
Yeah, so she's facing a ton of backlash right now because over the past year, it's very obvious that she has lost a significant amount of weight.
What's a significant amount of weight?
She's probably half the size that she was when she started.
Oh, yes, wow. Yes, yeah. Because at one point, it was pretty clear that she was gaining weight and she was struggling a lot with her diet and her body image. And at this point, I don't even know if I would call her plus size anymore, maybe mid size. But yeah, she lost a ton of weight and there was a lot of speculation online how she did it, but she was keeping it very quiet on her social media what she was exactly doing to lose that weight.
Okay, and again, to establish for those of us that don't know her or her history on social media, she's always been open and vulnerable about her body image issues and has been very forthcoming with her struggles with her weight.
I would say for the most part, but where a lot of the controversy is coming into play is over the last year, she's been sort of documenting her change in her body, and it's kind of been taken from the angle of like, I had this really devastating breakup and here's everything I'm doing to glow up. Like, it's a lot of videos of her showing herself how much stronger she's getting, and she's you know, she's doing pull-ups and she's at the gym and she's sweating and she's showing all the things that she's doing. But in the meantime, people that are asking about certain weight loss crutches or weight loss tools like the shots or weight loss surgery, anytime somebody is commenting about those things, she will either block them or delete those comments. Mm. That's what people are saying.
Yes. So what's really interesting about her is people call her a body positive influencer. I don't actually see that for her. She has always seemed like someone and has been vocal about not being happy and comfortable in her body at a heavier weight. I think when you are a fat person on a platform and you smile and make jokes, people are just going to put you in that body positive box, even if you don't belong in that. So just a few days ago, she finally came clean in an article in Self magazine, and she also went on Khloe Kardashian's podcast, Khloe in Wonderland, and she finally confessed to undergoing weight loss surgery. And people are not happy about it because they think she has been painting this picture that is totally deceptive, that she has lost this weight through working out and eating more cleanly. And they think the fact that she wasn't so forthcoming about this weight loss surgery that she had a year ago means that she was not transparent with her followers and that she's been even gaslighting them.
It's really opened up this larger conversation as to like, what do influencers owe their followers? Like, what is the line between getting to protect your peace? Because she has been very open about the fact that like certain comments will really trigger her or be upsetting to her. But at the end of the day, like, do you have an obligation or responsibility to be completely 100% honest about everything that's going on in your life? Like, what is the line for an influencer between what you put out there for the world versus what you keep for yourself?
I think you've been very, very passionate about this very thing in past years.
Yeah.
Like, exposing yourself and being honest if this is going to be your thing.
Well, my thing is this. If you're going to use a platform for a certain purpose, I don't feel like you should falsify information. Mm-hmm. I don't think you should mislead your followers. If you've never talked about that, then you don't owe them that. But like, you know, for myself, it would be so misleading if I went onto my social media account and I was like, yeah, use this cream and your skin will look amazing. And if I wasn't like, no, I go to Atlanta Face and Body and I get it injectables. I don't think you can do one thing but say another and have your followers believing, oh, well, if I just do XYZ, then I'm going to be just like Remy, when in actuality, she had lap band surgery.
So what has her defense been? Because you said that she did the podcast and she's got an article now also. So what's her defense in this whole thing?
So she claims that she just wasn't comfortable talking about it, that her recovery was brutal. I think what she's saying is that her videos of her eating and working out, they weren't meant to deceive anybody. She didn't feel comfortable coming out and saying that she had the surgery because it's something so private and intimate, and that she was afraid that what is happening now would happen and that people would feel betrayed by her.
And to be fair, I mean, when you get a surgery like that, you I mean, you do have to afterwards watch what you eat, and exercise is important. So it's not like she wasn't doing those things. I'm sure the doctor was like, hey, I know somebody who had that surgery, and your lifestyle does a 180 as far as like how much you can eat, your portions, what you eat, exercise is important, all that stuff. So I get that she's still being true to her life because she's actually doing this, but there obviously is something significant that is getting left out of the narrative so people understand how she's able to lose the weight so quickly.
Yeah, I want to know how it connects to you, because before you had your battle with cancer, you were fired up about starting to lose some weight. In fact, I use your example probably 3 or 4 times a week when people tell me that they're getting on Ozempic, about how your doctor said that you were pre-diabetic and there is no such thing as that. Pre-diabetic means you're at a healthy level. Even Sanjay Gupta from CNN was laughing about pre-diabetic, and then they wanted to put you on that, but you know, things were different. So how do you connect to this whole thing?
Yeah, I think I'm so passionate about this like petty TikTok thing because I lost such a significant amount of weight when I was battling cancer. And that is such a private thing that people can still see you and they notice that there's a change in your body and they may have assumptions. They may have an idea about how you're losing it. Someone accused me of going on Ozempic. They didn't know that I was battling cancer. And I just think...
You should have said, I'm on so many other things. I'm not going to go ahead and tell you what they are right now, but one of them is not Ozempic.
More expensive.
True, very true. So our situations are so different, but both of our situations come from a medical need that then... The consequence is weight loss. So I understand.
What was her medical need?
Being obese. Morbidly obese.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I understand the feeling that this is something so private, that weight loss is so intimate and private, and not everybody wants to take you on that journey with them. And I think getting something like weight loss surgery, that's a controversial thing, especially if you're on a platform as a body like a body positivity influencer. So just seeing people call her a traitor, say she's gaslighting, say that she lied by omission. To me, I don't think she's lying by omission. I think that she waited until she was comfortable and or maybe made money through a podcast or a magazine to share her story. And I relate to that because I was very transparent with my weight loss and everything I was going through my cancer battle, but I wasn't 100% transparent. You know, there's still things that I wouldn't talk about.
Yeah. You're on Ozempic?
but it's misleading, especially if this is your platform. And she had to know that the optics were going to look really bad if it was ever exposed.
And obviously, it's a surgery, and she said the recovery was rough, and so you're going to need some time. I just wonder if there was a message to be like, hey, I'm not ready to talk about this yet, but when I'm ready to talk about it, or would that just have fueled the fire?
I just think parasocial relationships have gone too far, but follow me on Instagram.
The Bert Show.
Abby was supposed to come in here this morning with... Tales of a wild weekend in Charleston.
I was so excited. My mom and I are trying to start this new tradition where we try and do one girls trip a year. We did it last year in Napa, which was a blast. I was like, oh my God, I never thought I'd go here. But thank God I have my parents to take me there, because otherwise, the closest I'm going to get to wine country is like sampling wines at ABC Wine or whatever. But yeah, we were planning on doing another trip this year, and we were throwing out a couple of different locations. We thought about maybe going to Sedona. We thought about maybe Cape Cod. We thought about maybe doing like a wild weekend in Austin. We threw out a bunch of different locations.
You guys should do that thing I've seen girls do for girls trips where they put a bunch of ideas. Like each one of the girls on the girls trip puts the idea on a piece of paper, folds it up, and puts it in a hat. And they all draw out the locations. But each one you draw out is a place you're not going. And the very last destination left in the giant rimmed sun hat is where you get to go.
Oh, that's so fun. So we'll have to do it next year, probably. So we were going to go to Sedona, and we were making plans for that. But then my mom apparently has a very busy social calendar, because then it just came down to one weekend that was going to work for the both of us. She goes, you know, I'm busy this weekend because I have a wedding. I'm busy this weekend because I'm going to see your brother. I'm busy this weekend because we're going to the BVI. And I'm like, well, dang, you are doing way more fun things than I am. So we settled on maybe a shorter weekend trip. We're like, maybe we'll do Sedona next year. That looks like a lot of fun. We'll go hiking. We'll do like some kind of spa thing. But this year, it looks like we need to do something shorter and something that'll fit on this one weekend. So we pull up the calendar, and this weekend that was supposed to be last weekend, I thought was going to be perfect. Mom was like, this is when I'm free. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh yeah, this is great, because we're supposed to be on vacation that following week. And I had made a doctor appointment for tomorrow. I had so many things I was set to do in Jacksonville, because I was like, oh yeah, we were on vacation last year, the first week of April. And the year before that, we were also on vacation the first week of April. I'm like, and that's when I made all my appointments. That's when we're on vacation. So we're sitting here, we're having a post-show meeting, and we're talking about who knows what. And Bert goes, oh yeah, just letting you guys know, I'm going to be out Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it's just going to be you guys doing the show. And I'm like, what do you mean it's going to be us doing the show? None of us are supposed to be here. None of us.
Oh no.
And I realize, I pull up the email with our vacation schedule, and I look at it, and I see that we are not, in fact, on vacation this week. We are on vacation next week. And I had to cancel the Charleston trip because my mom didn't book Friday through Sunday. She booked Saturday through Monday because it was cheaper. I wanted to go to one of my bucket list hotels in Charleston. And obviously to do that, you have to do like the cheaper dates anyway.
Which one is it?
The Dewberry in Charleston.
Okay.
It's a really nice hotel. Anyway, that's where I wanted to go. So we are not going to Charleston at all because my mom is busy for the next 17 weekends.
Did you miss that?
Because last year was April 1st through the 7th, and the year before that it was April 1st through the 7th. So in my head, I made this little mental note. I was like, first week of April is when the Bert Show goes on vacation. In December, when I was at my plastic surgeon, I need to come in for a follow-up, I literally said, oh, I'm going to be off that week. That's perfect. Put me down for Tuesday at 1:30 p.m.
That's crushing, because when I have a vacation planned, I am counting down the days at least 10 days before, going, all I got is 10 days. All I have is 9 days. All I have is 8 days. And if you were to tell me you have to tack another week on there, it's crushing.
Calling my mom up was the most devastating thing I've ever had to do, because I said, hey, I know we're supposed to go to Charleston in 3 days, but I need you to cancel everything. Luckily, everything was cancelable except the flight. So
what are you doing next week?
The Bert Show.
Nothing.
Time to get
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a History Meets True Crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
On the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment.
There's literally no weekend for us to do a vacation together. So I was like, I'll see you next year. All right, Mr. Beast and James Patterson are going to co-write a battle royale style thriller novel together. This is very interesting because I didn't take Mr. Beast for much of a writer. He's really good at video production, but the thought of him putting together a thriller battle royale-esque storyline for a book just seems very much out of his wheelhouse. But
this guy is so, I mean, the one thing I love about him is just that he thinks so big and he really doesn't do any kind of inbox thinking. I think he can pull it off.
The difference between like video editing and writing a novel, like a James Patterson style novel, is with video editing, like somebody's attention span is so short. Like you gotta like pack a lot into 10 minutes. Whereas I feel like people really attach themselves to books because you need so much backstory. You need a lot of setup and you really got to draw it out for 1,000 pages. And that's why people get so invested in the stories, because it requires your full attention. Whereas when you're doing more of like video style content, I feel like it's a different like a wheelhouse you have to have in your head.
Well, what I know of Mr. Beast is obviously everything he does from a philanthropic side and you know how charitable he is, but also from his new TV show like The Beast Games or whatever it's called. And it makes me think, like, is he behind, like, is he the one that is masterminding some of these scenarios, or is it producers? Because if he is masterminding some of these scenarios, then I feel like he can weigh in on this book and actually like make it something impressive.
I'm pretty sure it's a complete team behind it. But I did watch a video with him, an interview with him last week, and he said his entire career is based on the purple cow theory. Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
Purple cow theory is like you have to do something so extraordinary and so out of the ordinary that it stands out. Like, you could see 100 cows in a day, but if you see a purple cow, that's the first time you've ever seen that, and that's the thing that you're going to remember. And that's what he's built his entire career on, is just doing something that hasn't been done. He's a pretty interesting dude.
So apparently the novel is already getting shopped around, and apparently there is a bidding war already for a film and TV adaptation, which to me feels like this is definitely a team move. Like, I don't think you just like I don't think you just go, oh yeah, Mr. Beast is going to come out with a novel and it's going to be pitch perfect the first time around. I think they are really trying to figure out how they can make this, I don't want to call it a PR stunt because I feel like that's kind of biting, but like the publicity they're going to get from the fact that Mr. Beast is working with James Patterson, they're just going to use that to turn whatever film or TV show they can into a cash grab.
Yeah, I don't think it's Mr. Beast's name that has this already having like a potential film. That is James Patterson all the way.
You think so?
Oh my God, yes. James Patterson, are you freaking kidding me? Yeah, he's that man. He's got the Midas touch when it comes to his books. Like, they're like, oh, this will be huge because of him, and Mr. Beast just so happens to be attached to it.
I think they're just trying to appeal to a younger audience because, like, yeah, don't get me wrong, like, I know who James Patterson is because I love to read. In fact, James Patterson was my commencement speaker at the University of Florida, so really? I love James Patterson. But I think they're probably trying to just get more of those younger readers into, like, the novels and stuff, and getting on Book Talk as well is a huge, huge win if you can get your book to go viral on TikTok. So it definitely seems like it's a smart power play no matter what, and I'll probably end up reading it because I do love a book. All right, Kanye West is saying he didn't want to have kids with Kim Kardashian. This is another very controversial interview with Kanye. What else is new? But he did a recent interview with DJ Academics where he is wearing a black robe that resembles the KKK uniform. But he also says something not as egregious as wearing a KKK uniform. But he does say that he didn't want to have kids with Kim Kardashian. He said, that was my fault. I didn't want to have children with this person after the first 2 months of being with her. But that wasn't God's plan. This is so dumb. You're going to say that when your four kids are already on this earth is ridiculous. I know. This feels like a fever dream.
What?
He's wearing a black KKK cap and gown type deal, talking about how he doesn't want to have kids with Kim Kardashian, despite the fact that he already has kids. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Moral question for you. Mm-hmm. We get an email.
Mm-hmm.
We can interview Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking that?
No. I'm just not buying it. And I know that this is what he wants.
Yeah.
What we're doing right now is exactly what he wants. So I feel like he's calculating like these very controversial, ridiculous things to say. And he wants people to be outraged by it. Oh, my God. Can you believe what Kanye did today? And you know what? I'm just saying to myself, I'm smarter than that. I'm not buying into it at all.
I'm the same way. If anything, we should be talking to Kim Kardashian about how she feels about this entire thing. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
There are P1s, and then there are like platinum P1s. Okay, P1s. Yeah, like I get this message the other day because I was doing an AMA and I said something about P1s. And this woman says, I've been listening to you for 20 years and I still don't know what a P1 is. Man, then you're not a P1. All right. Chris here is a P1. He came in and he is now helping out on the Burt Show fan page on Facebook. And he is the one that I've got a couple of complaints about that is too protective of the Burt Show. Let me tell you something. There is no such thing as too protective of the Burt Show. And it's nice to be able to go to a place where I know there's not going to be, it's not constructive criticisms. And we've said this time and time again. It's the mean posts that are specifically speared to jack with somebody's mental health. And Chris is in the same place we are. He doesn't allow it. He just doesn't allow it.
I don't allow it. And I think a few people are upset about it. So we just block them.
Thank you for being our digital knight in shining armor.
Yes, that's what a fan page is.
You have to. And there's so many people that want to do so much for the Burt Show when things are going on. So we come together, figure out what we can do, and then go from there, you know?
Thank you.
On the fan page, there's a couple things that happened this week that the group came together and said, we want to do something. So the first thing was, we know KK loves her wine.
A little rosé all day, baby.
So
Hello.
We brought you some rosé in celebration of your Gracie Award.
Thank you, Chris.
So I think Cassie knows how much I love her, and we've connected on so many levels. There's more that she doesn't even know behind the scenes that she's helped me with personally. But the fact that I'm driving in South Georgia in Jacksonville, and I'm listening to Cassie this week, and I'm in tears with her comments toward KK. So everyone's like, we love KK. We want that to happen. Something else happened on Monday where someone came in here and was the most vulnerable they've ever been on the show. So the fan group has done something for that person. And so we have a gift for you, Mo.
For those of you that don't know, Mo's been going through it. And he had a segment on the show where he broke down. You were as emotional as I've seen you in all the years we've known each other now.
Yeah, I think I was as emotional as I've ever been. But it was three personal deaths to me over one weekend, man. So it has been a really rough week. I've been trying to navigate through it all as best as I can. I'd certainly appreciate this. Thank you.
One being a Burt's Big Adventure kiddo, which is, I guess, why you wrap the wrapping paper in Mickey Mouse wrapping paper.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. And so Katie, who is the admin for the group, she lives in New York. So she feels a little left out sometimes because she's not local. So she's glad that I'm local. I can fill in and do some of these things. So I think she might have sent you an email as well. So check that later of some good well wishes from a lot of people.
Would you like him to open it now?
I would.
Okay.
I check the fan group, obviously, every single day. And the amount of people in that fan group who rally behind the different members of the Burt Show whenever they have anything. But also, our Burt's Big Adventure families, they posted Landon's GoFundMe, and they are donating to that to uplift the community that surrounds the Burt Show and Burt's Big Adventure. And I just don't think you could find a more positive place on Facebook.
He's reading the card right now.
You want me to read this out loud?
You don't have to. That's personal if you want.
Okay. This is beautiful. Thank you. Aww.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I sincerely appreciate it.
The amount of people, Mo, who were behind this project that Chris has been working on touched my heart.
I mean, they're messaging me about how can we contribute. We're like, go to the GoFundMe, contribute to the GoFundMe. That's what you can do.
Like a montage of pictures of you and Landon.
This is beautiful, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We couldn't have done it without Cassie, without Amanda. They got us high-res photos that we were looking for. And then the place where we get canvases done, they couldn't do it as quickly as we needed. So I had to find something last minute, and we were able to get it done.
I've never even seen this picture. This is brutal. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for your support of everybody on the show and the show.
That's what we're here for. We love the show. You probably don't remember, my husband and I ran into you at Target, the Prado, one day. You were in your Bronco. And I walked up and I said, hey, Burt, love the show, and walked away.
Did I flip you off?
No.
No, he actually, we remember you best from Pride seeing you in the park.
That's right.
With those very uniquely shaped popsicle jello shots.
Yes.
Whatever you want to call those.
Yeah. I'm known for those in Atlanta. Yeah. I'm known as the jello shot king.
Yes.
And I didn't make them last year, and people were mad.
Here's how you guys will remember Chris and the Target thing. Remember I came in and I said I met some listeners, and they tried to look me in the eyes the other day?
I'm almost on your level. I'm 5'6". Come on, man.
My man, thank you so much for your support.
Absolutely.
Look, there are just times I don't really go on Facebook that much anymore because I just think it's a coward's canvas. So I stay away from it. I try to stay away from the comments, and I have been beautifully naive to what's going on. The last time I went to the fan page was way before you were involved in it. And I saw some snarky crap up there, and I'm like, this is not a fan page. So I haven't gone back since, but now I will.
It's wonderful. I mean, when Amanda joined the fan page, I guess she had to get a new profile.
Is it my Amanda?
Yeah, and wasn't letting her in. So Cassie shot me an email saying, can you let her in? So I was like, have her friend request me so I can just add her straight up where it'd be easier. It's wonderful. There's so many great people. There's a guy on the fan page named Tony. He's amazing. Like, he loves this entire show. Like, he thought when I posted about the wine that we were bringing Mo two bottles of Henny.
he needs a case.
Right? Two ain't gonna do it.
Right? There was someone that commented, because Chris don't love this, I'm sending you a message, Mo, from Australia.
Yay! Our fans from down under.
Yeah.
Thanks, so, Chris. Thanks
absolutely,
so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. You're and everybody awesome, on the man. Fan page, what are there, like 3,000 people on that thing?
I think there's almost 3,200 now.
3,200. Wow. Thank you guys for listening and supporting The Burt Show. Appreciate you guys.
The Burt Show.
I think even if you're not in like the movie industry or TV industry, you're familiar with wrap parties, like at the conclusion of a season when everything is said and done, or at the conclusion of a film after filming has wrapped, they have what you call a wrap party, and everybody gets together and celebrates like, yay, we did it. We had so much fun. Let's go make more money.
I didn't know what you meant by wrap party at first. I was like, oh, yeah, wrap party. That was just every college party I went to where we played Fetty Wap. And
oh, no.
Drake. I was like, every party was a wrap party in 2016.
W-R-A-P.
Took me a second before we got there.
And Georgia has these great tax cuts for the film industry. So we get a lot of stuff that films here. So, of course, there's going to be certain areas around town where you might stumble across a wrap party. And intern Lamario, you got to go to one of those.
Yeah, I actually work in the TV and film industry. And just to segue, it wasn't actually in Atlanta. This was actually out in Kentucky. They also have some film credits that they do as well.
Where were they filming in Kentucky?
Louisville. They actually film a lot out there.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, I was out there working on the Nana project. It's okay. Actually online if you guys want to check it out. You know, free plug. But I was out there working with a couple of notable actors. Nolan Gould from Modern Family. Who else? Tony Todd, Morgan Fairchild, Mercedes Rule, just to name a few.
Very cool. That's
Nolan,
awesome.
Nolan from Modern Family. How would we know? What's his character on Modern Family?
He's the son. So he's the youngest. He's old now because, you know, time's passed. But yeah. He was the son
on Luke from
Modern Family. Luke, yes.
Luke with the curly hair.
The goofy one. The not so smart one.
But in real life, he is incredibly
genius.
Intelligent.
Yes.
He's like meta level intelligent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was just rattling out like equations and like telling us stuff all the time on set. Like, he's super cool.
It's so funny because Luke plays like, you know, this dumb kid on Modern Family. But in real life, he's like stupid intelligent.
Yeah, genius. So we finished the movie. Martini shot. We finished later that night. We're out of town. So we all want to party, blow off some steam before we come to Atlanta. We go to a place called High Horse in Kentucky. It's a popular place for like filmers.
Okay, that tracks.
So we go out having a great time. Nolan's feeling good. He's like, you know what, guys? I'm going to buy the bar. So everybody's like, yeah, Nolan's going to pay for drinks. Yeah, everybody's super excited. So we're having a great time. It's about 15 to 20 of us. Drinking, knocking them back, shots, brews, this, that, everything you can think of. We're just having a great time.
Because Nolan's picking up the tab.
Yeah, like he's got it. Big Shot got it. So we're with it.
And I mean, if he got any of those Modern Family royalties from syndication, I'm sure he's doing okay.
That's a whole nother situation talking about those. That's why the show, I think, kind of came to an end because the kids wanted more money.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so by the end of the night of all the partying, all is said and done, we're getting ready to leave. We're getting ready to wrap the party. And next thing you know, we get a bill for about almost like $12,000. And we're like,
how much?
Almost $12,000.
Oh, for like God.
If I can remember, but it was a little bit.
But you said it was only like 15, 20 people, right?
Exactly.
That math is not mathing.
It does not add up. That's exactly what I was saying.
Well, it depends what you're ordering. I mean, if you get like 10 bottles of Dom, that's $1,000. And then
not in a small town in Kentucky.
Not in
all those drinks are priced well.
Okay.
So what ended up happening was they have like, you know how a club will have like multiple bars? So when Nolan said he was going to buy out the bar for us, they took that as he's buying out the bar for everybody.
For everybody who was in the establishment?
Yes. So they ran a tab for everybody in the club on his tab.
No.
It was horrible.
Well, okay, so what I have to know his reaction when he got the bill. Like, did you see all that go down or did you just, was that hearsay afterwards?
No, I was there. So He was pretty shocked by it. He took it all in stride. But the part that ticked him off was they were trying to make him mandatory pay a tip. And he was like, no, I just paid $12,000. I'm not finna pay a tip. And they kept trying to get him to pay a tip. Long story short, he gave him a tip all right. He ended up writing FU on the bill where it says tip. And we got up out of there pretty quick because it was getting rowdy.
He'll be fine. Show. Yeah.
The Burt Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a History Meets True Crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.